Welcome into Locked On Knicks. Alex Wolf here, solo today, going on, well, sort of solo, not quite, going on with Doug Branson of Locked On Hornets. The Locked On NBA Network has been doing what we're calling the Delete 8 Mock Draft. We did one installment a few weeks ago, and then, you know, we did another installment, and we're going to probably do a few more between now and the draft. It's all the teams that were left out of the bubble for the NBA. We started off just doing it in order of standings, and now we're going to be running Tankathon Sims to give ourselves new positions. So today the Knicks ended up picking seventh, and so Doug and I talked. He, with the Hornets, ended up picking eighth. The Knicks are seventh, so we got on to talk about who we would pick and also reacted to the six picks prior to us. So take a quick break and be right back in with this nice little crossover episode with Locked On Hornets.
You are Locked On Knicks, your daily New York Knicks podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
This is all rebound, back up, off the glass, it's good! RJ brings the Knicks to the
ball. Milikina, what he does is contagious.
Robinson with a catch and slam. Across the lane, Knox foul from behind.
Becomes infectious. All right, welcome into Locked On Knicks. Again, Alex Wolf here with Doug Branson of Locked On Hornets. Doug sort of led the discussion here, so I will throw it over to Doug to get us into this talk about the Delete 8 mock draft.
Welcome to a special edition of Locked On Hornets and Locked On Knicks. It's a crossover edition in honor of our Delete 8 mock draft 2.0 that we just wrapped up. I'm Doug Branson, a host of Locked On Hornets. Joining me is Alex Wolf, host of Locked On Knicks. Hey, Alex, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Good. We both of these podcasts are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. If you have a favorite team that's not the Hornets or the Knicks, you can go to lockedonpodcast.com, find that team, subscribe to them on iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. We got a lot to get to. We did this mock draft. If you haven't heard one of these crossover episodes before, we've gathered the Delete 8 teams, the 8 teams that are not going to Orlando, and we decided, okay, fine, you get to go to Orlando. We're going to have our own fun by doing some mock drafts from now until the actual draft in October. So we are on Mock Draft 2.0, and in this edition, we decided, Alex, to shake things up and mix up the draft order a little bit. I did some randomization on Tankathon. And unfortunately, the Hornets did not move up. I don't think the Knicks did either, right? You guys fell back a pick. Is that right?
Yeah, which actually is the most likely outcome for the Knicks based off the weird way that the new odds work. The Knicks have like a 30-something percent chance of getting into the top four, and then like a 55% chance of dropping a pick, and only like less than 10% chance of actually holding at six. Wow. So it's weird.
Well, and I think the same, even if the odds aren't the same for the Hornets, it still holds true because, I don't know if you know this, Alex, but since NBA basketball returned to Charlotte in the form of the Charlotte Bobcats, the Bobcats / Hornets have never moved up in a draft. They've either stayed where they are or they've moved back.
Well, that's holding right in form with the Knicks as well, who have they have not moved up since Patrick Ewing in any draft lottery since 1985. So
let's just hope that these mock drafts are not indicative of what will actually happen on August 25th when they hold the NBA lottery. Let's hope for luck for both of these franchises, because they are two franchises that are in desperate need of a little lottery luck. But in this mock draft 2.0, the Knicks are sitting in the seventh slot and the Hornets are sitting in the eighth slot. So I guess the natural first thing to do would be to discuss how the first six picks went. Atlanta won the lottery. Brad Rowland selected LaMelo Ball. Next went to Chicago, Anthony Edwards. Cleveland in the three slot selected Killian Hayes. Minnesota took Obi Toppin. Golden State selected Tyrese Haliburton, and then Matt Shook over at Locked On Pistons had the sixth pick, and he goes with Onyeka Okongwu. Now, in the next segment, Alex is going to reveal who the Knicks, Locked On Knicks podcast selected, and then in the third segment, I will reveal who the Locked On Hornets podcast selected. But Alex, let's just kind of talk about how we feel these first six picks shook out.
Yeah, I mean, my general feeling is the first three to me are backbreakers. The second three I could care less about, at least as it pertains to the Knicks. Like, I feel like I definitely love LaMelo Ball and Killian Hayes, and I think they're probably my top two on my board and will be pretty much all the way up to the draft. The Knicks have been starved for a point guard, you know, for so long. We have Frank Ntilikina, who a lot of fans love, myself included. But, you know, there's questions about his long-term viability as like a starting NBA point guard and whether he might be better suited to be sort of a frequently ball handling combo guard in the future, something like that. He really needs to figure out his offensive game and all that too. Like he's good at organizing an offense and finding people in their spots, but isn't the best at breaking down a defense yet. So the Knicks really need that sort of guy. And LaMelo Ball is definitely that. He has shot concerns as well, but, you know, is good at breaking down the defense, has a phenomenal handle, and is, like, from everything that I've read and seen, one of the best passers in the last, like, five drafts, like, period. You know, right up there with, like, the Luka Doncic's, the Trae Young's of the world, as far as just pure passing ability. And definitely a guy that I would love to see on the Knicks. You know, unfortunately, I tried to make a 4A for the first pick and then the second pick and struck out. And I didn't even attempt the third pick then because it just seemed like nobody was biting. But I tried to offer up the Knicks' seventh pick plus the 27th overall. And then I was even dangling. Well, it's tentative, but it's the Clippers pick, you know, about 27th overall. And then I was dangling the Hornets' second round pick as well, which thank you to you guys. And that's presumably eighth overall in the second round. So I tried that, couldn't move up, little heartbroken that I couldn't get one of those top three guys.
Well, and so, yeah, we should mention that we did open up trades as well as shaking up the draft lottery. So we went really crazy on this one. Both Atlanta and Chicago, Brad Rowland with the Locked On Hawks podcast, and then Matt and Jordan with the Locked On Bulls podcast, they were both open to trading those picks. And I think that's really interesting because they are acting as representatives of what they feel like their team would do. And so if Atlanta and Chicago both move up into the top three, I think it is reasonable to expect both of those teams to try to trade back out of that position because both teams have young talent already that they're confident in. And this draft is relatively weak on star talent, but neither of those teams trade. Atlanta takes LaMelo. Now, LaMelo went second overall in the mock draft 1.0. Anthony Edwards took the top spot with Golden State in our first mock draft, but in this one, LaMelo goes one. Anthony Edwards goes two. Killian Hayes, you mentioned him. He goes three. Kevin O'Connor has him, I believe, number one on his big board. You have him number two, but a lot of other people, I mean, I've seen him as low as 10. I think he's all over the map right now. What do you see in Killian Hayes? I'm interested in that because I like Killian Hayes too, but I wonder, is he like top two pick potential kind of guy? What do you see in Killian Hayes?
Well, I mean, I don't think in most other drafts he'd be a top two pick.
Right.
But I think in this one you could certainly make a case for him. I mean, the big things that I've seen, and, you know, this is coming from – there's certain people that whose opinions I like more, you know, in the draftosphere. I think everybody has their favorites. One of my favorites is actually like a personal friend of mine named Spencer Perlman, he's worked as a scout for, you know, an NBA team last year. He's worked for the Stepien, which is one of my favorite draft websites. He's pretty high on Killian, and a couple other prospects he really likes I've kind of fallen in love with as well. But Killian, I think it's just like he's a good shooter for one thing, like, which is something that's not super available in the top part of this draft at all. You know, even the top prospects like LaMelo Ball, Anthony Edwards, both had really real concerns with their three-point shot and their shooting in general and their percentages. Killian actually shot a respectable percentage in a professional league, you know, in a men's league in Europe. And, you know, that's something to write home about, I think, in this draft, considering that there's so many guys that had their struggles with shooting percentage. And particularly there's really no dominant 3-point shooters in the top part of this draft. And he's the only guy that, you know, right now you could reasonably say has a pretty solid, buildable 3-point shot. And then on top of it, I think he's a little underrated as a passer because he has most of his rep as a scorer, but he's a maestro with his dominant hand, with his left hand, and with his right hand, it seems like he needs a little bit of work. But I mean, I think you could say that for most guys with their offhand, you know, at 18 years old, coming into the league, you know. So I think there's definitely a case to be made for him potentially as the number one, but definitely as a top three pick in this draft. Obviously, there's some defensive concerns, but again, nobody's perfect. Like Anthony Edwards and LaMelo Ball have very real defensive concerns with them as well. So I think he ticks all the boxes, you know, at least in this draft. Maybe in another draft, he might be more like a, you know, 8, 9, 10 pick. But in this one, you can make a case that he has one of the highest ceilings and already has established a pretty good floor for himself, I think.
Yeah, I feel like this lottery is going to be defined by teams really falling in love with the pluses of a player and less a lottery of teams getting scared about the minuses, because as you said, so many of these players have very clear minuses that they would have to work out as they developed as a pro. But that's kind of what a weak draft is. It's a lot of players with very clear minuses. Okay, coming up, we've got to find out who Alex Wolf and the Locked On Knicks podcast selected in the seventh slot. A lot of big names left. We've got James Wiseman still on the board. We've got Cole Anthony out of Carolina still on the board. We'll find out who Alex selected for the Locked On Knicks podcast in just a second.
Just a quick reminder, today's show is brought to you by rockauto.com. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models of cars, it's now impossible to stock all the parts you need in a traditional chain storefront. Why would you want to deal with all the pointless and seemingly intimidating questioning, you know, about the small details about the model of your car and the trim package and, you know, all these other things, and also wait, you know, while the guy at the counter orders you parts that probably are making him money and, you know, not necessarily benefiting you and giving you the best price, you know, being told what you're going to order rather than being able to choose what you want to order. It's all just a very cruddy experience going to a brick and mortar auto parts place. And quite frankly, you have computers now. We have the internet and you have access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket on your phone. So why would you do it any other way? You know, I've said before, I'm looking to do some car repairs to my 09 Subaru Forester right now. And, you know, I have a trailer hitch assembly that needs replacing because mine has gotten a little rusty and I can't put my bike rack in it like I want because I stupidly left a ball hitch in there that's now rusted shut, basically. So I'm thinking about just replacing the whole assembly, you know, start fresh and, you know, get one that's not going to be covered in rust, even if I was able to get my hitch out of there. And so I'm going to do that. And, you know, I've got some other stuff that needs potential repairs, too. I think the seal on my back taillight is a little off because I'm getting a little bit of fog in there. So I might order a new seal off Rock Auto or just a whole new assembly. And all kinds of different stuff. But that's the beauty of Rock Auto. It's super easy to navigate. You know, you get on the website. It's got all the different car brands. You just click on your brand. Then you click on the year of your car. Click on the model. And then click on the trim package. And you've got all the parts that you could ever need. Right from rockauto.com. Sent right to your door. And for cheap, too. I mean, it's really not expensive at all. Any of the parts that I've seen so far. And I've compared them against the other, you know, big box stores and or you know, big name auto companies that you see on TV all the time, and they're beating them in prices, and you know, they're giving you a fair price that's not weighted for whether you're a mechanic or a, you know, a home, you know, car repairer like myself, which is great, you know, because a lot of times in these big stores they give discounts to mechanics and then charge you extra if you're just a, you know, a walk-in customer. So none of that at rockauto.com. So if you are interested to get some car parts and do a little car repair project of your own, go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts that they have available for your car and truck. And write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so that they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com.
Okay, Alex, you are officially on the clock. As you said in the first segment, you were unable to trade this pick. Unfortunately, you have to make it. It is the seventh pick. Who are you selecting for the Locked On Knicks podcast?
Well, yeah, and let me just say like two quick things before I make this selection. One, I think it's going to be interesting this year to see in real life how these picks are valued and how easy it is to move up compared to other years, because of what we were just talking about at the end of the last segment. But like, as I mentioned, I offered up two first round picks, you know, so the seventh overall and then a late 20s from the Clippers, and wasn't able to move into the top three. So I'm curious to see how that's going to go in real life this year, if the Knicks would potentially go for that. My other thing is, like, if it were available to me, I might have looked to trade back here. There's one prospect that I've been really talked into named Alexei Pokashevsky, as long as I got his name right, who's a thin power forward, like stretch four, five kind of build guy. Good on the defensive end, good shooter, but definitely very skinny and needs to fill out a lot. And he's someone I've sort of been talked into lately. And that would be a guy I'd be interested in trading down for. That said, there's no trade down option here. So there was only a trade up option, and I wasn't able to make that happen. So I went with Denny Avdija out of Israel with my pick. And I've got, like, I'm not 100% sold on this one. But, you know, as you said in the last segment, you know, this is sort of about selling yourself on the positives of guys rather than the negatives in this draft, I think, and trying to find guys that at least have the upside play. You know, I don't know that in this lottery, even that there's even any like sure things. Like, you even look at Obi Toppin, who Minnesota took in this, and he's, I don't think, a sure thing. I think there's very real concerns about, like, his defense is that bad that I don't know that he could do it in the NBA. And I don't know if he's like necessarily going to be the force on offense in the NBA that he was in the NCAA. But Avdija, he's kind of just like a do-it-all Swiss Army knife type of player. I don't think he'll ever turn into an all-star, for example. I think that there's real concerns about his shooting. He shot pretty bad from three-point range for most of the season, and also pretty bad from the free throw line, which is generally the more concerning thing with a young player. But he spent the whole quarantine time reworking his form, and his league has now resumed play. And since they resumed play, he's been shooting really, really well, and he's put together a number of really strong games. And that sort of gives me hope. He reminds me in many ways of RJ Barrett, who's already on the Knicks, in that, you know, RJ had his struggles this year. He didn't shoot the best from three. He definitely has things in his game that he needs to work on, but he has just like this unending work ethic. And it seems like Denny has that as well. And those are the sort of players that I feel comfortable banking on. Even if I don't think he's going to become a superstar or anything, I think that there's a good chance that he could become, you know, an idealized Dario Saric, maybe, right. You know, like if Dario Saric met his potential, that could maybe be Denny Avdija.
That's the comparison that I keep seeing, is Dario, but if he played a lot better. And he has the one thing that I think is valued so much now, which is versatility. I mean, he already has it offensively because he can do an array of things. And if you're a team that feels like you can bring him into your system and fix his 3-point shot, then you're confident that you may have a future star on your team, one of the kind of value star picks in this draft. Has the point forward, potentially 6'9", has the 6'10" wingspan, 215 pounds. You know, if he bulks up a little bit, and he's only 19 years old. I think he's playing basketball right now. I think they've restarted some play in Israel. So, you know, he's getting a jump start on some of the other prospects in this draft. So that's another interesting aspect. And I'll tell you this, Alex, I had my eye on Denny, and had you not selected Denny, That would have changed the calculus on my pick. That was one of those situations where it was right there. I didn't feel like it was worth approaching you about a trade to trade up for Denny because there were players available to me that I felt like would fit with what the Hornets needed and what they wanted out of this draft. And so I decided not to trade up. But Denny is, I think, going to be a very attractive player if he's available where the Hornets are selecting, because I think he has that potential as like an elite score playmaker, you know. And is it a far off potential? Well, yeah, but I mean, I think that it's there, it exists, and that's something definitely the Hornets could use. So a lot of interesting analysis there, Alex. You're confident that you made the right pick. You'd have no second thoughts about maybe a Cole Anthony, a James Wiseman was still on the board. RJ Hampton is kind of volatile. I've seen him top 10. I've seen him top 7, top 6, you know, but no thoughts about RJ Hampton?
No. In the last one that we did of this, I passed on Halliburton.
Halliburton went high in this one. Wasn't even on wasn't even in the top 8 in the first one, and goes 5, I believe, in this one.
Exactly. So he gives me, you know, if he would have been there, that would have given me some pause. Because I think that he has, again, not star potential, but has a real chance to contribute right away and just kind of be a good contributor for his whole career. But other than that, no, I didn't really have any. I don't have much interest in Cole Anthony. I think that he did get a little bit too bad of a rap, given how bad his North Carolina team was this year and how much of the load he had to shoulder himself. But I'm not totally sold on him, and I'd rather Denny. And then like Wiseman doesn't appeal to me at all, quite frankly, because the Knicks already have Mitchell Robinson, who I think is better.
This draft feels like, it's like playing a game of Battleship. Like, there's a Giannis Antetokounmpo somewhere in this draft. Yeah. Like, a player we just have no idea. Maybe it's Denny. Maybe it's somebody else. Maybe it's Tyrese. But it just feels like there's a player that nobody sees coming right now, and it's just sitting there waiting for somebody to select and change the trajectory of their franchise.
It does kind of remind you of that, like, 2013 draft, doesn't it? Like, what's his name? Oh my God. I can't believe I'm forgetting. With the Cavs, Anthony Bennett draft.
Yes.
Where Oladipo ended up, you know, being one of the better players out of that draft. And then Giannis fell, you know, to just outside the lottery, if I'm not mistaken. And then you had, you know, a surprise rookie of the year and Michael Carter Williams.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like there's a chance maybe this year that Halliburton could be that Michael Carter Williams that comes in and puts up immediate numbers, but then maybe plateaus early. You could definitely have someone, you know, in the back half of the lottery that really surprises you and comes out as a force in a couple years' time, you know, if you give them a little bit of seasoning and whatever. I think there's actually a chance that that guy could be the guy that I mentioned a minute ago in Pokuševski, if someone buys into that. But I guess we'll see.
We'll see if I buy into it, because I have the next pick, the 8th pick, and my selection is coming up in the next segment. Okay, we have reached the end of the road for this Delete 8 Mock Draft 2.0. We are going to be doing this once a month until October, and we'll do it a couple more times heading in to the actual NBA draft. So make sure that, you know, the first of every month, check in with some of the other podcasts if you want some analysis of what we think the top 8 picks will be as we close in on this crazy, unprecedented draft, run-up to the draft. So with the 8th pick, I had a couple of options. Wiseman was on the board. Cole Anthony was on the board. You know, do I expect Michael Jordan to fulfill his reputation as somebody who likes to select players from North Carolina, even though it's kind of unfounded? There were a lot of options for me, but I decided ultimately Walker Mayo, my co-host, gave me the license to select who I wanted. In the first draft, we selected Devin Vassell out of Florida State. He was still available, but I decided to go with my gut, and I selected James Wiseman, kind of out of Memphis, because he only played a couple of games with the 8th selection. Wiseman fulfills a need for the Charlotte Hornets. They were really dead last in ability to protect the rim and defensive rebounding. Wiseman would help both of those. He's a player that I feel like is one of two, maybe three players in this draft who has legitimate star potential just because of his measurables and the little bit that we got to see him play in college. And people have plenty of tape on this guy. They understand that he has athletic ability that doesn't make sense for his size. And I think he would help this defense that was already starting to come together. They felt like, you know, the defense with the Charlotte Hornets was not good if you look at the overall season, but it improved dramatically as they started to buy in to the system that Borrego was installing all year. And I think it really is just missing that one piece, which is somebody who can protect the rim, not just block shots. I'm not talking about that and help defense. I'm just talking about a player that can intimidate guards. Guards were getting by Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier all year long, and they didn't have to think twice before finishing at the rim. That's what the Hornets need. They need a player that's going to make them think twice before going all the way to the rim, and I think Wiseman could fulfill that role immediately. Are there risks? Sure. But if he falls to 8, I think it's a no-brainer. James Wiseman fell to 7 in the first mock draft, so he wasn't available for me to select in that first one, but he was available here. I selected him. Alex, what do you think of my pick?
I like it. You know, obviously Okongwu was off the board with Detroit taking him. I think maybe as a sure thing, I like Okongwu better, but as a, you know, a long shot, like potential pick, I like Wiseman better. Based off what I've seen about him, I mean, it seems like everything you said is correct. I mean, he's going to be a good rebounder. He's going to be a good post scorer. And I think a pretty good interior defender right around the basket. The main thing that I've seen that's concerning with him is his ability to defend in space. So hopefully he doesn't get switched onto the perimeter too often and stuff like that, because apparently that's a weak point for him. But, you know, we've seen with a number of bigs too, that if they have the right athleticism to, you know, counter that, sometimes they can recover and make the, you know, make the chase down block sort of if a guy gets by them and things of that nature. So I think it's definitely a good pick for you. I mean, if the Knicks had any need at all for a big, you know, that would have been a direction I would have entertained going. But Mitchell Robinson for the Knicks is already so good that I'm like,
oh my gosh, I'm so jealous. I've said this on the podcast on Locked On Hornets. I'm so jealous of you guys for having Mitchell Robinson. I mean, he gets like 27 rebounds every time he plays the Charlotte Hornets. And yeah. I mean, he's a joy to watch, right? I mean, you get to watch him every night. I only get to watch him 2 or 3 times a year, but he's got to just be a joy to watch.
He's so fun. I mean, I love watching Mitch play, and you know, I think he's got a lot of room to grow too, which is the better thing about him. Like, he's been working on a jump shot, which apparently he's really making progress on. And like, my God, if he puts together a jump shot, forget about it. I mean, he just set the field goal percentage record for the NBA this year, because essentially if you throw it within 5 feet of the hoop and he can jump for it, he's going to put it in the hoop. He's like an alley-oop machine. He is a blocking machine. I mean, his block percentage is through the roof. It actually went down a little bit this year because he finally started learning how to control himself as well and not hack at everything and not foul so much towards the end of this year. So yeah, he's developing really nicely. Like, I really think next year could be sort of a breakout year for him, where he asserts himself as like one of the better centers in the NBA. And I would say almost definitely he'll be up there challenging Rudy Gobert for best defensive center in the NBA in no time.
Ugh, disgusting. I'm so jealous of you. You bring up an interesting point, though. If the Hornets, say they go into the 4th slot and that Obi Toppin is not available, and they really do, you know, have Onyeka Okongwu there for them and James Wiseman, I think that presents an interesting choice for the Charlotte Hornets. Do they fill an absolutely immediate and clear need in rebounding and rim protection that Onyeka Okongwu can give you, or do they swing for the fences and try to add talent? And that's all you're hearing out of the Charlotte Hornets camp right now, is they understand, Mitch Kupchak and James Borrego, the whole organization understands that while they have some very good talent on this team and developing talent on this team, they don't feel like they have a star player, a player that can win you a playoff series. at least not yet. As well as Devontae Graham played, as good of a rookie season as P.J. Washington had, there's no definitive evidence that either of those players can put a team on their back and win them a playoff series. And so they are looking for that. And can they find it in this draft? Probably not in the eighth slot. But if they do grab the number one pick, I think there's an argument that LaMelo could be that player. And I think you'd find some people who argue that James Wiseman could be that player. So it's going to be interesting to see if the Hornets really are serious about swinging for the fences and finding that sort of franchise-defining talent, or if they're satisfied with finding a player that can fill that need.
Yeah, I mean, I guess we'll see. To your point about like needing a player that can potentially win you a playoff series, I don't know if Wiseman could ever be that in today's NBA. Like, I just feel like there's so few centers that you could really say are good enough to straight up like be your best player, like definitively. And
yeah, you would be betting that he could find some extra abilities that maybe he didn't have a chance to develop while he was at Memphis, or show off while he was at Memphis, that he could turn into a player that isn't just a center.
I feel like if you were going to have a center that could be like an A1 superstar on a real playoff contender at this point, it would have to be like Karl Anthony Towns with defense, you know? And I don't know. I'm sure we'll see that player at some point show up, but man, that's like such a crazy player to think about. I guess maybe the closest you could say is maybe like Embiid is, you know, in today's game, you know, an offensive threat, you know, at sort of at all three levels, even if he's not actually a good 3-point shooter, mm-hmm. but he sort of has that gravity out to the 3-point line, and then a really elite defender and rebounder. I mean, I don't know. I think he's probably the closest thing to it.
No, all good points. Alex, thank you so much for doing this crossover with me, this Delete 8 Mock Draft 2.0. Join us back here at the beginning of August as all eight Delete 8 teams get together, do these crossover shows. If you want to check out some analysis of those six picks that I mentioned that happened before our pick, just pick a podcast, because they've all done a crossover show at this point with each other: Atlanta, Chicago, Cleveland, Minnesota, Golden State, Detroit. Thank you, Alex. I appreciate you joining me here.
Yeah, of course, man. Okay, and that's all for today. Hope you guys enjoyed this little crossover episode. We'll be back with some more content later this week. You know, Gavin and I might have a guest or two, or it might just be the two of us, but we'll definitely have some more shows for you coming up. And, you know, maybe some talk about the other teams making it into the NBA bubble, some of the Knicks rumors and news that have come up recently, and whatever else we can think of. So we will talk to you soon. In the meantime, enjoy your week, and you know, we'll be back with you before the end of the week.